It's just gone 20 past five, and we're going to be speaking to Tamar Yona. Tamar Yona is a managing director. She's a journalist. She's also a radio station owner. She is from Israel News Talk Radio, which is the largest talk radio station in Israel. And she joins us on the line right now. Good afternoon, Tamar. How are you?
Shalom, Kathy, and everybody.
It's lovely to speak to you. My co-host joins me. His name is Simon.
Shalom. Tamar, wasn't expecting that American accent.
Hi, Simon. Shimon in Hebrew.
There you go. Or Simon with two yuds. Take your pick.
All right. Can we talk a little bit about the upcoming Israeli elections?
Sure. Actually, I just did a show on that. And just for all of your listeners to understand that I'm a radio talk show host, and so I'm extremely opinionated and sometimes controversial, but we always invite opinions of everyone else to join us on the air as well. So feel free to jump in, any of you that want to. The Israeli elections, I said in one of my shows this last week, is kind of like a circus, because the way that the parliament here, which is called the Knesset, is built, it's 120 seats, and they are formed by parties. We do not vote for individuals. We vote for a political party, and the individuals in the political party can move around. They can get into the Knesset, let's say, in the Likud, and then if they don't like what's going on in the Likud, or they feel that they can promote their own political situation better, they can jump to another party. And that's what we're seeing happening now in the race for the upcoming elections.
Interesting. Okay, so what do you think is, do you call it this early, or would we have to get a forecast from you?
I think that the polls right now are saying that the Likud is going to win. They are very, very strong. Benjamin Netanyahu is very strong as well. He is liked by the center and by many on the right, and on the left doesn't like anything that's conservative. But he's very strong in politics here, and they're pretty much assuming he's going to remain the prime minister. However, the left is trying to get in, and they're pushing Yair Lapid, which is also a centrist party. At least that's the way he presents himself, which is called Yesh Atid, which in Hebrew means there is a future. And he is a very handsome young man. He's in his, I would say, 40s or maybe 50s, and he used to be a talk show host on Israeli TV, so people know him and they like him. And he's being groomed to try to take over from Netanyahu, but I don't think he's going to get enough seats.
Tamar, would I be incorrect in saying one of the characterizing, what characterizes these current elections is the absolute collapse of the left? I mean, if you look at what Mr. Gabay did with Tzipi Livni, that seemed to have backfired on him quite in quite a strong way. What's your take on that?
So just to familiarize your listeners, there is the left-wing party, which was called the Zionist Union, which was made up of the Labor Party and of Tzipi Livni's party called the Movement. And they were together, and at a press conference, he made a speech. And with her sitting right in front of him, he came out and said, Tzipi Livni and I, we are not going to be in the same party anymore. We're not going to be running together, which was a total surprise to her, because she was prepared to get up and speak about how they'll be running together. And it was a humiliation, and even people who don't appreciate or don't like Tzipi Livni felt compassion for her to be treated like that. So yes, you're correct that the left is splitting, but the right wing is splitting also. And that's one of the terrible things about the right wing, is that there's so many splintered small parties that they aren't successful in uniting, because if they united together with the religious parties, because most right wingers, I would say, are religious or at least very traditional, they could probably be the second largest party in Israel.
Tamar, Bibi fatigue. Indictments are pending. We'll know what will happen in that regard probably next month. You've had him as your leader for a very long time. Isn't it time for a change?
I know that the word change sounds quote-unquote sexy today, but it's not always good. I just don't see anybody able to unite the country if it's not Bibi. And I have my criticism against Bibi. I am not a total fan of his. However, when I look at everybody else who's in the game, who is in the Knesset, I don't see anybody that can really unite the people from all the different streams. Yeah. And someone who is as well respected in the foreign community and in the international community as well. Bibi is a very strong man. He's a brilliant politician, and I believe that he's going to remain the prime minister, but we shall see in another couple of months.
Yeah, succession always becomes a question. You know, who would succeed him? And
so that's what I'm interested in. Who is in the game, Tamar?
I think the only people maybe that could have a small chance, or if people wanted to bring up, you know, names, maybe you could think of, as I said, Yair Lapid from the Yesh Atid party, possibly Moshe Kahlon from the Kulanu party. But again, the Kulanu party only has 10 seats. Yesh Atid only has 11 seats presently. Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party has 30 seats, okay, compared to the second party is under Likud is the Labor or the Zionist party, which is 19 seats. So we're seeing a very drastic difference between the top party and the second.
Very interesting. Tamar, can we talk about the Hamas attacks on the southern border with Israel and Gaza and a possible escalation? Well, it's been quite quiet for a while.
The Hamas, usually what they do is on Friday, Friday is the Sabbath day for the Muslims, and they go to the mosques and the imams incite the people and the Hamas incites the people. And on Fridays, that's when most of the escalation takes place. They have thousands of people who are going to the border, throwing rocks, Molotov cocktails, bombs, sometimes even there is some shooting. And of course, Israel has to respond. If these people were able to get through, they would be shooting and blowing up the civilians in the neighboring communities that are in Israel. And so, of course, Tzahal or the IDF has to hold them back. Sometimes Arabs that are demonstrating and trying to break in through the border are killed. And when that happens, a lot of times the Hamas or the other terror groups in Gaza will start rocket fire against Israel, aiming it at Jewish communities to kill men, women, children, babies. It's a very, very serious thing. They're also sending incendiary balloons on fire to destroy the farmlands, the agriculture in Israel, and they've done hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of shekels of damage that will last for years.
Tamar, are the incendiary balloons still going over? Because we actually haven't seen any reports of them for a month or two. Are they still continuing?
In fact, this last week there was a whole cluster of balloons with a drone, and it was sent over. And there are pictures on the internet. If I have a chance and I can find it for you, I'll be happy to send it to you.
Amazing.
But it's a very serious thing, and even children here are affected, because mothers have to tell their children, if you see a balloon, don't run over and get it. Call mommy, call daddy, call some adult, because God forbid, fill in the blank.
Yeah. So ultimately, how does one, and I know this is a much longer conversation and we've only got about 2 minutes left, Tamar, but how does one actually go about tackling terror? Because it has so many different faces. It was just two mornings ago that in Amman HaNativ, Amman HaNativ, right? In Jerusalem, this 14-year-old girl stabbed.
Yes.
And it just goes on and on and on and on. So you can't stop every citizen. You can't. How do you deal with incendiary balloons and all the different ways of committing terror in the country? What's the solution?
You know, last night they had a special documentary called King Bibi, and they did this whole his whole life, and they showed a clip of him where he was at the podium and he was saying how to stop terror, and his three words were, as he said, like in real estate, location, location, location. That's the most important thing. And in terror, it's winning, winning, winning. When we lose, when we kowtow to terror, when we're trying to be politically correct, when we don't want to get flack from the international international community, and we use kid gloves. This emboldens the terrorists, and they continue the terror. So we need to win. We need to be strong. We need to make the deterrent factor so scary and so painful that little Mohammed, who's 15 years old, is not going to even want to think about joining a terror group and becoming a terrorist. That's what we need to do. And for the good Arabs who help Israel, where does Israel get its information from? A lot of it is from the Arabs themselves, because they know that their terror organizations are corrupt and evil, and they want to be taken back into Israel.
Yeah, and that's where we leave it for today. Tamar, thank you very, very much. It's an absolute pleasure to hear from you and get your opinion. And it's okay. We're a Jewish radio station. We're used to opinionated people.
We're going to have some really good debates going forward. There's no question about that.
Tamar, thank you so much. Tamar Yona. And we look forward to speaking soon. God bless.
Thank you so much. Shalom. Thank you.
Bye-bye.